Welcome to How We Got There. I am your host, Mike Davis, founder of Go-To-Market Guides. I interview thought leaders and founders in the Salesforce ecosystem to help ISVs learn new things to try and mistakes to avoid. This episode of How We Got There is brought to you by ISV App. ISV App is used by leading Salesforce ISVs and OEMs as the central toolbox to reduce churn, increase renewals, identify upsell potential, and close more deals. ISV App is the only plug-and-play solution for the AppExchange App Analytics API and provides deep product insights. The setup is easy and takes less than 5 minutes. Visit isvapp.com, that's isvapp.com, to learn how you can take advantage of usage data in your app today. All right, I am here with Brooke Daniels. She is the Director of Global Portfolio Development at Salesforce Ventures. Brooke, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Mike. I'm excited to be here today.
Awesome. So maybe to start, share a little bit about how you found your way into the Salesforce ecosystem at Salesforce Ventures and a little bit about your role.
Sure thing. So I started in the Salesforce ecosystem actually as a customer of Salesforce, like many of us. My background before working at Salesforce was in startup technology. I worked at a startup company for 7 years where Salesforce was really the core part of our business applications. We used it for CRM, but we had it heavily customized even in those early days when we were using Salesforce. All of our customer success data, apps, reporting, we ran all of that out of Salesforce and had a really positive experience as a user, saw the power of the platform and the technology. And I had a friend who worked at Salesforce and for years kept telling me, Brooke, come to Salesforce, Brooke, come to Salesforce. And as Salesforce was taking off momentum, I felt like I wanted to also go from the startup scene to see what tech innovation looked like at scale, and no better place to do that than Salesforce. So my friend eventually recruited me over. I joined Salesforce 4.5 years ago on the core sales team out of our Atlanta hub, which just means that I sold across the entire Salesforce platform. And then right after the MuleSoft acquisition, I transitioned to MuleSoft on their enterprise sales team and spent 2 years there, which was fantastic. Beyond getting to get exposure to the enterprise integration and API side of the house, also did a lot of work with helping MuleSoft partner back with Salesforce Core as part of the integration effort, and then joined Salesforce Ventures a little over a year ago. I work in a portfolio development role now, which means that our team pretty much supports the companies we invest in post-investment. Now in VC, there's definitely tons of money available and companies are really looking for closer partnerships. So what else can Salesforce Ventures offer to help me grow my business beyond money? And that is what our portfolio development team does. We jump in, we do a little bit maybe due diligence wise to help on the GTM side. I'm a resident GTM expert. So if we want to really dive into a prospect's go-to-market plan, I'll assist there. But 85% of the work we do is with companies after investment, and we try to help them grow their business however we can.
Oh, that's great. That just for folks that don't know about Salesforce Ventures is investing in that way. It's hard to imagine that folks wouldn't on this, but to share a little bit about Salesforce Ventures as a whole.
Absolutely. We're large in the market now. We're one of the top cloud kind of growth stage B2B investors in the space. But Salesforce Ventures is a CVC, which is a corporate VC. So we are fully owned and operated by Salesforce. We invest off of Salesforce's balance sheet into companies that are strategic to the Salesforce ecosystem. Generally, we invest in B2B SaaS cloud companies as a theme. But we also have an impact fund that invests in sustainability themes, reskilling the workforce as well. Salesforce Ventures now, we have a portfolio of close to 400 companies. That includes the Slack fund that rolled into Salesforce Ventures with our acquisition. Again, there's that B2B SaaS cloud focus, but because Salesforce as a company has such a broad reach now at business applications, with the Velocity acquisition, we have industry clouds, we reach into financial services, we've got marketing cloud, commerce cloud, MuleSoft, just across the board. So it really does give us a lot of broad investment thesis in where we can invest, even as a CVC.
Great. And you mentioned Slack there. Since the Slack acquisition closed, how, if at all, has Slack influenced your approach?
Great question. In case you haven't seen the news, which would be hard to miss, Slack has had a tremendous impact on both Salesforce.com, but also Salesforce Ventures. So on the Salesforce.com side, Slack really is driving our digital HQ strategy. So all of our business apps, and not even just Salesforce business apps, but we believe business apps just across the ecosystem will start to be centralized through Slack as that core communication component, which I'm not sure if you use Slack, Mike. Hopefully you do. You'll already start to feel that experience as we integrate more and more applications where that information can be served up in that core place where you... For Salesforce Ventures on the Slack fund side, they were actually a little bit earlier stage. So Salesforce Ventures is historically what you would call a growth stage investor. Most of our investments tend to be Series B, Series C, Series D, maybe pre-IPO. We do a little bit of Series A. Whereas Slack on the other side were earlier stage investors. So they do more seed and Series A investments, which is fantastic because we have the ability and capability to do investments across the spectrum now that Slack Fund is under Salesforce Ventures.
Beautiful. And yes, I use Slack every day. We actually started an ISV go-to-market Slack community that has over 400 members in the ecosystem engaged in it. So I love the Slack acquisition and rely on it all day, every day. So let's talk a little bit about fundraising. You mentioned where Ventures plays, but when should a founder really consider fundraising? When shouldn't they? Can you give us a little bit of your view of the world there?
Absolutely. So I always say the first step in thinking about fundraising is first, as a founder and entrepreneur, is understanding the type of fundraising that your business needs. Because VC is fantastic. I love the industry. I love our ability to come into these great innovative companies and support these founders with the financial capital they need to get that accelerated growth. But venture capital is not for every company. If you think about the spirit of venture capital, it is to put fuel behind a company that we believe can get exponential growth year over year and very rapid fire and quickly get people on the platform. Generally, now you will see other companies in the energy space, for example, they may be on like a Series B, C round and they haven't actually gone live yet because they're maybe rebuilding a grid or something that's really huge and transformative. But generally on the tech side and even a little bit outside of tech, I always say first, understand if your business is really able to achieve the type of growth that VC funding, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I think that's the power of the Salesforce platform is you can choose your own adventure and not all adventures include VC, but the big ones certainly do.
Right. I could add on there too, Mike, if you'd like. If you pass the test and you do think VC funding is right for you, then I think you should definitely understand kind of the journey of VC funding. Usually starts with a friends and family round. Maybe you've put a little bit of your own capital in there. Maybe you've got some angel investors for you at least to get something out to market to get that initial product market fit. It's pretty important. Seed round. Sometimes when you get to a seed round, you might not have product market fit, but even then seed rounds are a little bit larger than they have been historically. Valuations are up. I don't know if that's going to hold, but the moment valuations are really high. And so even at that seed round, they expect some traction in the market. And then definitely by the time you get to series, we're looking for product market fit, customers on the platform, in a due diligence process, being able to talk to some of those customers about their experience, having a pretty good handle on how you're going to, on how you're articulating value and thinking about your pricing strategy, and then some vision of how you're going to continue to capture market share and grow up from there. For us, usually for a Series A investment, we're looking for already $1 million in ARR in recurring revenue as a business before we're willing to think about that Series A investment. And again, part of that's just a proof point for product market fit. The other side of that is when we think about what my team does on portfolio development, we really also want to invest in companies that can benefit from our partnership. And a lot of times that's wanting to scale alongside Salesforce, right? Go to market with Salesforce, reach into the Salesforce customer base. And just by default, the size of our company requires that startups be at a certain size to be able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, because you need a focused go-to-market message that's unique to each of the constituents in the ecosystem, because aligning with Salesforce sellers, aligning with SIs, aligning with customers who rely on Salesforce all have a different go-to-market motion and a different go-to-market message. And you make a really good point around company size, because if it's a sole or a handful of founders trying to do it all, it'll be challenging for them to take advantage of that. For a company that's interested in engaging with ventures, how should someone reach out and what should they really come prepared with in that reach out?
So reaching out to Salesforce Ventures on the one side is easy. There is an email address that actually goes to our entire team at salesforceventures@salesforce.com. And so we do look at inbound requests that come into us. We absolutely take a look at. We have an investor that will go through all of those and share feedback on the way in. Most of the inbound requests that we see come in, the number one reason why, I'd say there are two reasons why generally they may not lead to a conversation. One is because they just may be outside the scope of our investment thesis. So a lot of B2C companies is not really in our space. We're very specific. So I would say definitely check out the Salesforce Ventures website, understand where we're investing and make sure we're a fit for your company to reach out. And then the other side is that a lot of times companies are just too early for where we tend to invest. Now, again, that's shifting a little bit with Slack Fund now coming on board. We're able to go a little bit earlier, but we definitely check that email address if you reach out. The other thing I'll say is relationships are always key. Building relationships with investors that are already in the fund. I know we're all active. Even me in a portfolio development role, our whole team makes it a point that we want to meet with founders. And so when you're at that point, I would say that you've got some product market fit, you feel like you're ready to fundraise, or maybe a quarter out is a great time to reach out and get in touch. And even then, sometimes when the answer is, hey, you're still a little bit early, but we love to keep the door open, our investor team, our entire team are very sincere about that. And so it could be that even when you reach out on that first one, maybe the conversation doesn't lead to an actual investment decision right away, but it could open a door for future rounds as you get going. And our investors, I think, also do a great job of trying to point to other funds that may be in that sweet spot, that may be a little bit better fit than us, if that's the case.
Great advice. And in terms of what folks should come prepared with, so let's play this out. So somebody emails salesforceventures@salesforce.com, and I'll link to that in the show notes. But what should they come prepared with in that first meeting? Like, what are your expectations there?
So definitely send the investor deck. Tons of examples out there of what a good pitch deck looks like. But especially the earlier you are, investors and Salesforce Ventures want to see one. They want to learn about what problem are you solving? Why are you solving it? But two, what makes you uniquely different to solve this problem? Because the reality is that there are a lot of good companies out there. I would say even a lot of great companies out there. But in VC, we're not just backing good or great companies. We want to back the market leader, the market winner. And so a lot of conversations that we have are, do we think this company that we're investing in will be the market winner in this category? And so anything that you can put in there to talk about how you're differentiated, whether it's your product, whether it's IP that you have, is it the team that has some really special expertise? Anything you can put in there to convince us that you are not only building a great company, but you're going to be the category leader is fantastic to include. Always include the team. Show that how you're thinking about your TAM, your total addressable market is huge, like that you have an understanding of the market, the factors that are at play, where that market's going, and then some understanding of your customer, your value, but also showcasing how you're going to quickly, in your mind, capture market share. Because when you're early in a market, a lot of it is around, hey, we want to see, even if it's early stage, your ability to get out of the gate and show exponential growth. And so everybody knows when you're early, the numbers will shift, right? Your strategy is going to shift. There'll be challenges and you'll pivot. And that's actually really healthy for the business. You at least want to show that you've thought out, right, how you're going to get that early traction in the market, how you're going to showcase that growth. You understand what it takes to get there and are also painting a vision of what this looks like in the future.
Nice. And just given your expertise around all things go to market, are there any company examples out there that you think really has go to market figured out in the ecosystem?
I like BetterUp. I would put the put BetterUp in the ecosystem. They're a company that we've invested in at Salesforce Ventures. Are you familiar with BetterUp, Mike? They are a coaching platform.
I'm not. I got to look them up.
So what I love about BetterUp, and I think they have been around since around 2013, but I love that they have been able from a go-to-market motion to capture both B2B and B2C through their same coaching service product. That is very difficult to do. It's even difficult to have a product that is B2B for enterprise and small business, or starting a small business and being able to actually go up market is very difficult to do. And with BetterUp, they launched their core product, which was a professional coaching and leadership coaching platform. And so they offer that to individuals that want to sign up on the platform, and they've got expert coaches that you can then work with weekly, biweekly, quarterly to work on any development goals you have. But they also package that up to a B2B model. And so they've convinced multiple companies out there now that should be a component of either their just a component of what they offer in terms of professional development, or as part of the benefits package to take advantage of this. I've seen for some companies, maybe it's coaching they offer to more senior execs. But I just love from a GTM perspective that they were able to do both B2B and B2C with that core product. And now that they've nailed that motion, they're also starting to expand into adjacent focus areas. So they're going from just that professional coaching and leadership development to now doing coaching on diversity, equity, and inclusion issues at companies and helping with their strategy, coaching on sales performance. And I believe they've recently also launched a mental health solutions component.
Yeah, that's a beautiful, I'd be remiss not to double click on this, because what you subtly mentioned there on the flip side is the importance of focus. And like, even if a company has a vision like BetterUp to be B2C and have these different offerings, at the start, it's important to focus down and get really nail a niche. And so I think that example is probably true, I would imagine, of their journey.
Absolutely. That's a great point. I'm a huge advocate as well on nailing the niche and that first customer profile before expanding too much into others. And I know BetterUp went on that example. It's great to see what it could build out to in the future if you stick to that path. That is one area that I do see some startups get into dicey waters on from a go-to-market plan, is if you're stretched too broad right away and you're trying to talk to too many audiences, it really makes people question if you're able to get the market share quickly enough that VCs expect to, from execution perspective, right, to be able to hit those goals to then get to your next round. And so I definitely caution companies on how they pitch that vision of what they're doing from your Series A to Series B, how you're building, how you're capturing market share. You want to be very specific on the market you're going to play in and the supporting GTM versus spread really thin across a lot of sales motions that might not get you that market share and that target audience.
Love it. And how, if any, involvement, do you involve product management at Salesforce in any of your investment decisions?
Our product team are heavy partners, I would say, to our team. They support our team portfolio development side as well, because even post-investment, we do actually provide access to our product teams, to our portfolio companies. If they want to share ideas, if they want to get feedback on what they're building, our product team helps support post-investment. But on the pre-investment due diligence side, they are absolutely in there helping us understand what direction our product is going in, helping us also just think through tactically the use cases and the functional expertise for some of the opportunities. But obviously, Salesforce is one of the fastest growing enterprise companies in the world. And our product team is at the forefront of that insight and expertise that helps us think about where the market's going. And so we definitely try to bring that to bear in our investment decisions. And so sometimes I feel like people think, is it just around what Salesforce has in their portfolio now? And it's absolutely not. We are thinking about their current roadmap and strategy, but also looking 3 years ahead, 5 years ahead, thinking about where business is going, not only where Salesforce is going, but where is society going and the broader tech landscape in general. We think about our customer demand, another great reason why it's excellent to talk to our product team, because they're the ones that are getting the feedback directly from Salesforce customers. on what they want to see. What do they need in the market? What are they excited about when it comes to early adoption? And we're able to bring all of that feedback into how we think about where we want to invest.
Yeah. And what I love about the ecosystem and what you provide, you, the Salesforce as a company, provide to us as partners are those industry blueprints. And I have to imagine the product team is immensely involved in architecting those around the customer 360 vision through the lens of their customer. And so if you're listening and haven't looked at those industry blueprints in the relevant industries and verticals that you sell into, that's definitely a recommendation on my end to take a look and dive in. Brooke, how do you level set with your founders that Ventures does invest in at that first meeting after, from a go-to-market perspective? Like, if you can share a little bit about what post-investment looks like.
Absolutely. So one thing I'll mention is, one, being in the Salesforce ecosystem, you have to know that trust is at the heart of our company, is our number one value. And so on the venture side as well, we carry that value through. And so even before we get to that investment, we have very transparent and honest conversations with founders. In every interaction, we're already talking about and showcasing what our partnership looks like. We very much believe that it's not just about the investment. We are partnering to build strong relationships and integrations with these companies that overall are better customer experience for all of us. Post-investment, our team tends to get involved and sit down with the founders to just understand, what do you need right now? What are you working on? Any challenges that are in front of you? What are your goals? What type of insights might be helpful at this point in your business? And the reality is that it's going to be different for every company. Some companies we invest in that might be a little bit later stage, let's say like a Databricks, for example, they're a fully built out team. They're often to the races. And so if we interact with a company like Databricks at that size, they may be more interested in partnership opportunities or joint go-to-market. Is there an opportunity to do something there? Or do we have overlap with customers where together we may be a lot stronger in how we position or solve a customer problem? Whereas when we're working with some of our earlier stage founders, they may just have very tactical questions about how to grow their business. Because a lot of founders that we work with, especially if they're first time, have really good functional expertise where they've been a product manager, but they've never had to build out a full go-to-market motion. They've never had to hire their first CRO, for example. And so those companies, the conversations often drift towards advisory services. Do we have someone that can share a perspective on how to think about hiring? I want to hire my first person in marketing. I'm not exactly sure who that should be. How should I think about that profile, where I'm going? And so it really does require us to get to know the founders, which is honestly, Mike, the part I love is getting to spend time with these founders, learn about their business. And then based on that, our team tries to pull forward a list of recommendations of things that we can do that would be beneficial.
You and me both. I love that part about my job. It sounds like you love it on your side too. It's just the most fun time, in my opinion, is figuring out that initial go-to-market motion. Brooke, let's wrap up here with the final three rapid fire questions, 10-second answers. Ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right. Who is one company or person in the ecosystem that you track or follow?
It has to be Bret Taylor. He was our former COO at Salesforce. He's our new co-CEO. I know I only have 10 seconds, but he was the former founder of Quip that we acquired at Salesforce. He had huge impacts at Facebook and Google. He's a board member at Twitter. But what I love is that he is a true visionary when it comes to being a leader, and he gets innovation in tech. And so he's definitely a driving force at Salesforce, and I'd say in the broader tech ecosystem, on how to stay at the forefront of innovation.
Nice. And what would you tell yourself day one of working in the ecosystem?
The opportunities are endless. There are so many different career paths available. Set your intention and go.
And lastly, what gives you energy in your personal life?
I'm going to go with prioritizing health first. And for me, that means keeping mind, body, and spirit balanced. It's difficult to show up as your best when you're not balanced. So I do meditation daily, yoga, journaling. I try to build time into my day to be creative. And when I do these things, I'm, as Oprah would call it, I'm in the flow. And I know I can show up as the best version of myself.
Wonderful. Brooke, hey, thank you so much for joining and sharing a little bit of the insides of Salesforce Ventures. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me, Mike. And I'm so excited about this podcast in general around GTM guides. I'm sure it's so helpful to the broader Salesforce ecosystem. So thank you for putting this together.
Of course.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you learned something from today's episode of How We Got There. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. I'll see you here next time.